So why is there a feast like this? This feast for the Saints Peter and Paul together. I mean, surely each one of these guys is big enough. He kind of rates his own feast day, doesn't he? Why lump them together? Well, for several reasons. For one, they were both killed on the same day in Rome. But more than that, Peter was known as an apostle principally for the Jews. Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. So putting their feasts together shows the unity. There's one shepherd and one flock. There's also the concern that Peter and Paul were known to have some pretty significant disagreements, and the church wants to emphasize the unity between these two. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul recounts when he actually corrected Peter in front of the other apostles, and Peter admitted that he was right to do that. So today is a chance for us to talk about fraternal correction. Keep in mind, even though this was the other apostles were present, this was still a private correction. Okay? So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Just as St. Paul corrected the first pope, Pope St. Peter, it is possible and even sometimes necessary for us to correct our neighbors and even our superiors. Mostly we'll follow Father Henry Davis, his moral theology, which enjoys the imprimatur of Archbishop Joseph of Birmingham in 1948. Fraternal correction is a private admonition given to another, even to a superior, in order to withdraw him from his sin or to prevent his sinning. Father Dominic Primer, in his moral theology, adds that correction must be guided by kindness and love, and if it involves a superior, also by reverence and humility. Kindness, love, reverence, and humility. It's a private admonition. It's being private is not the same as a judicial correction, which is given by legitimate authority for the common good. Such things need not be private, though they still must involve kindness, love, reverence, and humility. That we have a duty to correct our brothers is clear just from the natural law alone, for St. Thomas tells us that fraternal correction is a remedy employed against man's sins, which is to protect his neighbor from evil. Surely the natural law teaches us that this is a good thing. But also from the divine law, we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourself, and who would not want to be protected or prevented from harm, which of course is the goal of fraternal correction. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." What does that mean, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted? Well, he said, you who are spiritual, that is, you who recognize the spiritual danger here, okay, it doesn't make you superior to the other person. You are not a holier person because you recognize this danger. Okay, be mindful of yourself, lest thou also be tempted, that is, tempted to pride. Matthew 18:15, if thy brother shall offend against thee, go and rebuke him between thee and him alone. And again, there we see the need for privacy in correcting others. So we see that we have a duty to correct our neighbor with kindness and love, if a superior, also with reverence and humility, and we're to do it privately. But common sense and right reason dictate that it would be foolishness and lead quickly to chaos and strife if we were just to correct every man for every fault. So charity and prudence and justice unite to give us guidelines as to when this duty to correct is binding. When do we have to correct? When should we correct? When may we correct? So if the conditions we're about to mention are not all met to some reasonable degree, it's better to not make the correction. First condition obliging us to fraternal correction. Our neighbor's need for correction must be serious and actual. Our neighbor's need for correction must be serious and actual. What does that mean? Well, serious. If there's a grave physical or spiritual harm that will certainly result from the situation, we should correct it. Let's make up a story about a man who runs a stop sign on an empty country road. Is there serious spiritual harm? Well, it's certainly not a mortal sin, So there's no serious spiritual harm. No one else saw it, so there's not even the possibility of a venial sin of scandal. The intersection is otherwise deserted, so there's no serious physical danger. There would not necessarily be a need to correct that man. Right? Don't do it. The danger must be actual, not just a perceived thing or a potential danger, but the danger must be actual. Your Protestant neighbor is actually trying to evangelize your children, not just your children are playing with the neighbor children who happen to be Protestants. Okay? No need to make a correction there. No need to pull your child away. There's no actual danger. Second condition, obliging us to fraternal correction. There must be a reasonable hope of success and no other apparent means of correcting the situation. It may be that we're pretty sure that the sinner will not depart from his sins if we attempt to correct him. There's no need to make that correction then. And it may even be suspected that he will only dig in more and hold more tightly to his sin. Such is another reason for private correction, by the way, public admission of fault being too difficult to bear. We might drive someone farther into their sin. So in this case also, there would not be the need to make correction, as it will only harden the sinner. So is there a reasonable chance of making the correction successfully? Is the danger actual? Is it real? And finally, is it a serious danger? If all of these things don't obtain, then there's no obligation to make the correction. When in doubt, and certainly before going beyond just the sinner himself to a superior or even public, which may finally be necessitated by the danger of scandal or threat to the public good, before going further than just talking to the person themselves, consult a priest in confession. This is what we do, okay? Father, the situation is this. What should I do? Do I need to correct them? Should I correct them? Can I? What's the best way to go about this? Okay? So a quick review. Fraternal correction is obligatory only if there is serious and actual real danger, including scandal, to our neighbor or to another, and if there is a reasonable hope of success. It is to be done privately unless the only way to prevent grave harm is to go public immediately, and then only if the sin or damage done was itself public. You should always prefer consulting with a confessor unless such a thing is impossible. In all cases, since fraternal correction is an act of the virtue of charity, says St. Thomas, it must be done observing the due circumstances required for achieving the end being the correction of the sinner. What are the circumstances? We mean where, when, and how will the end best be achieved? You can't just launch out and beat somebody over the head with the truth simply because it's the truth and you know better. Where, when, and how is the best way to get your message across? Anybody can tell you this. I can nag somebody, I can yell at them, I can humiliate them to get what I want from them. But it goes so much better if you buy them a box of chocolates, pay them a compliment, right? What's the best way to achieve the end? Where, when, and how have to be observed, because this is an act of the virtue of charity. Consider a few practical cases applying some of these principles. Okay? Father says something really stupid and offensive during the Sunday social. Not an unheard of situation, right? Do you go home and post that on Facebook? No. Father sends out an email with faulty information. Maybe it's even just a typo, but something really horrible comes out. Do you hit reply all to make your correction? Certainly not. The girl who has a skirt that's not quite covering the knees, as we've asked ladies to wear here, do you shoot her dirty looks during Mass? Humiliate her? Or the baby who just keeps making noise and the parents don't seem to get it and they won't take the baby out? Do you glare at them and sigh? You may solve a problem, that problem being you won't be offended by those people anymore because you know what? They're not going to come back. But that's not fraternal correction. You have not corrected the problem. What's the best way to help the situation? And if it can't be done charitably, then don't do it. Are any of these things even grave evils? There's certainly not an obligation to correct these things. Is your form of correction likely to succeed? Is it even private, given that lots of others can perhaps see what you're doing? Maybe you're just drawing more attention to a problem and making things worse. Are you scandalizing people by your uncharitable reaction to a situation? Is your response to what you perceive as evil really aimed at bringing the quote-unquote sinner to the light? Or are you just out to be more self-righteous and create a universe to your liking? We should always suspect our motives in times like this. If it must be done, that is, to avoid a real and grave danger that cannot be avoided by any other means, and it has a reasonable chance of success, if it must be done, then it must be done charitably and respectfully, with kindness and humility. And except in rare and extreme circumstances, it must be done privately. If you can't manage that, then keep it to yourself, or at least hand the problem off to that person's superior who has the duty to watch out for them and even correct them. And at all times, when in doubt, or even without doubt, but if it's possible, consult a confessor before making the correction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.